reign. He will continue to reign, and there is nothing that is not subject unto Him. All things have been created by Him. Every single detail of our lives are in His hands. He knows all. He loves us. He cares for us. And He's here with us. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Lord, with this time of worship. Not merely with the praises and the words and the songs that we have sung through our lips, but Lord, from the depth of our hearts, with thanksgiving, in faith, in spirit and in truth, we offer ourselves afresh to you at this time. Fill us. Fill us again, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit in a new, fresh way, that we'll know of your faithfulness, your love, that they are new every morning. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from all evil, that we may stand before you right now, confident, bold, justified, and received by you. Thank you, Lord. Whatever our cares, concerns we may have, struggles that we are facing, even sicknesses that we may be grappling with, whether upon ourselves or upon loved ones or others that we know, or whatever other matter that might be there that hinders us, we pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name, you just release us and completely set us free. For in Christ Jesus, we are truly free indeed. Thank you, Lord. We give you all praise, all glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you, Shahira, for the blessed time of worship. And as usual, with our worship leaders, I'll always ask them, what are the last two songs you are singing? So, you know, when I'm coming out, if you are opening your eyes, you know, sermon about to start. But then I was saying, hey, Pastor, today's last two songs, you're not familiar one. You don't know. And I'm glad I didn't know. They were very nice. Even Cindy was telling me that she doesn't know the songs or so. But what a glorious proclamation of praise and worship to our God. And really, it is very much in line with this concluding sermon of our series, The Great Church. I won't go through all these I've mentioned about them. I hope you in your mind recall what we have mentioned concerning these various four topics. But then today we look at the great celebration, and then moving out from the Gospel of Matthew, just looking at this passage later on in Revelation chapter 19 verses 1 to 10, we see this great celebration. What is a celebration? What do you celebrate in your life? Oh, you celebrate your promotion. You celebrate that you are going to have big bonuses. You celebrate that you are in good health, that sicknesses prayed for have been healed. You celebrate whatever many other good things. God the Father, the Bible says, all good things come from Him. In Him, there is no shadow of variation. He doesn't operate in the shadows. He operates in the light. And He's faithful, He's true, He's just. But this is the rejoicing in heaven that we are talking about. And really, this is, as some of you, if you have referring to your Bible text at this time, your Bible that you have, whether electronic or actual physical Bible, many Bibles will have this chapter, the first 10 verses, entitled Rejoicing in Heaven. But do you know there is already rejoicing in heaven? Another verse I want you to know is in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. You don't have to refer to that. It was just before Jesus gave the three parables, and then the parable of the lost sheep. And He says that there is greater rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents than 99 so-called righteous people who refuse to repent. That's the significance of the parable of the lost sheep. That God's love is manifested even with just one person out of the 100 and one that had gone astray but was returned to the Lord. It causes so much more rejoicing than to be rejoicing for the 99 that never escaped. I wonder what 99 things you have in your life that you continue to be celebrating in life. And rightly so, don't get me wrong, please celebrate. But what is the one thing that we ultimately rejoice in heaven? Is that we are there. We have been saved. You know, this text that we'll be looking at shortly has got two parts. And the first part is really, and in fact, the whole text can be summarized in one word, hallelujah. That's why that song was chosen, I believe, by Shahira. She has done her prayer, I'm sure, and homework, and chosen this new song for us to sing. Hallelujah. You know the word. What does it mean? Praise the Lord. Do you know that it offers many times in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, just four times. Just four times. And all four times in this chapter, in this passage that we are going to read shortly. And this is all about the great celebration that whatever else we might celebrate in the course of our earthly lives, our achievements, status we have attained, wealth that we have accumulated, position and power and authority that we perhaps even exercise in so unjust ways on others, and of course get upset when others exercise that on us. This is the celebration that we better not miss out. And that's why I ask you to keep this thought in mind as we go through today's message. Will we be at the celebration? Actually, originally I wrote, will you be at the celebration? I said, wow. Like I said, I confirm, you know, you're sure or not? No, we are together. We are together. I'd rather that, yes, we all be there. I think that's really the heart of a true servant of the Lord. I'm not saying that to praise myself, don't get me wrong. But Paul himself says in the book of Romans, I'd rather be accursed that my brethren may be saved. Are we prepared for that? Jesus puts it another way. No greater love has any man than this, than he who gives his life for his brother. And not just about exchanging of physical life, but that if my giving up of my life means salvation for you, between the two, let it be for you. That is how Jesus has loved us. Because when he took upon himself the sin that he never committed, the shame that he was put through, the reproach and humiliation and torture and pain and ultimately death. That's not what he deserves. But he's just, he's righteous, he's loving. And that's why he has done it all for us. So with this introduction, I told you that it appears four times. Let's read the first six verses where we'll read and I'll put it out according to the four times the word hallelujah appears. After these things, this is, you know, and please understand that this is from the book of Revelation. We've covered the first eight chapters. The reason why I deliberately stopped at that point is because subsequent ones are a lot of symbolism. Also, a lot of speculation. Not really necessary in the sense that because at the end of the day, what is important is that we are prepared for Jesus coming and not continue to speculate and argue. Bible, Jesus says clearly, no one except the Father, not even the Son of God, knows the day and the hour. He subjects himself to that non-knowledge in obedience to God. But what we are looking now is after these things, towards the end of the course of human history, chapter 19, where at the end of chapter 18, it means the end of the world. Chapter 19 serves as a bridge. Chapters 20 and towards the end of Revelation tells us about the new heavens and the new earth. So I'm just going to give you this outline of timeline, no further than that. John says, after these six, I heard something like the great and mighty shout of a vast multitude in heaven, exclaiming, hallelujah, salvation and glory. And I'm using the Amplified Bible. And I think I want to add those words in brackets, italics, because it gives you a fuller sense of words that we are familiar with. What is God's glory? Oh, we sing glory to God. But when you think about His splendor and His majesty, you realize that the glory talks about not just how exalted He is, but majesty is about His kingship. He's in control. We'll move on. I'll not do for every single word that is expanded by the Amplified Bible. His power, that is His dominion and might, belong to our God because His judgments are true and righteous. First, hallelujah. That's what said in verses 1 and 2. We'll look at these four as the very basis of our foundation and reason for celebrating. All means, if your birthday is today or whatever else that you want to celebrate, continue. But this is the main celebration that don't miss out. Don't miss out. Why? Because He has judged the great prostitute. And this is using the word prostitute not so much in the physical sense, but it's referring to the name for the world system, Babylon. The Empire of Babylon, chapter 14, verse 8. The whole crooked, evil, adulterous system of the world has been judged. Why? Because they were corrupting and ruining and poisoning the earth with her adultery. Again, not just about physical adultery, but ultimately about spiritual adultery, about idolatry. First commandment, I am your God, you shall have no other gods. Second commandment, you shall not make any graven images. They all point back to God. That the moment we stray from God, the whole purpose of the gospel, the whole purpose of Jesus, and the whole purpose of our great commission that we are called to do, to evangelize, is to bring people back to Jesus. And because of this, God has imposed a penalty for the blood of His bond servants. God has vindicated us, if you like. And so a second time, they said, this vast heavenly host, hallelujah, her, the great prostitute of Babylon, the smoke shall ascend forever and ever. And this gives us the idea that there was the judgment of fire to come. And the fire on the great prostitute, the fire on Babylon, the fire on the whole world. The final judgment is by fire. The first big global judgment was the flood. And God says, I will not judge that anymore through the flood. Rainbow was the covenant to give the assurance. But the final judgment is going to be through fire, no more rain. So two hallelujahs already so far, right? Then the 24 elders. 24 elders, we've actually covered that, representing the church. And the four living creatures, the four cherubim, right where the presence of God is, they fell down, worship God who sits on the throne, sing amen and hallelujah. Then from the throne there came a voice saying, praise our God, all you bond servants of His, you who fear Him, the small people, common people like us, and you who are great and distinguished. It doesn't matter what our status of life is. In the sight of God's eyes, small and great, rich and poor, noble and not so, they have been ushered when they put their faith in Jesus. So that's the third hallelujah. And we'll see what we can learn from this praise of God. And then finally, verse 6, then I heard something like the shout of a vast multitude. It's the same thing. It's like the song we just sang, the vast multitude shouting. Like the boom of many pounding waves and like the roar of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty. Who's the Almighty? The all-omnipotent, all-powerful, the one who rules. He reigns forevermore. So actually, this chapter 19, describing for us the great celebration, has got two parts. First part, verses 1 to 6 that we've just read, the fourfold hallelujah. Then from 7, 8, 9, 10, we read about the marriage of the Lamb. All these hallelujahs is because there is a banquet. There's a wedding celebration. There is Jesus, the groom, the church, the bride, who has been taken unto him, and the celebratory marriage banquet, marriage supper of the Lamb, whatever term you want to use, has taken place. Is there really going to be a physical eating celebration, yamsing and all that? I think if you understand Book of Revelation for what the symbols mean, I think this is more than symbolic. You are not going there for a feast, huh? I know we had one very good one last Saturday, right? Courtesies of generous sponsors in our church. After the Ponga Coaster, we had a fantastic meal, right? But this is more towards a celebration in the spiritual sense, where we shall be dining at his table forever and ever. Psalm 23, he prepares a table for me before my enemies. You can fight all you want against me. At the end, I'll be at the table celebrating with God in your presence. So let's read on. The marriage of the Lamb. Let us rejoice, shout for joy. Let us give him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Amplified Bible wants to tell us, if at last, finally. You waiting very long for Jesus coming or not? I am, you know. Then you say, 2,000 years ago, they were waiting. Also very near. At least we know, chronologically and time-wise, we are already 2,000 years nearer. And it might seem long. But Peter tells us, God is a timeless God. We are creatures of time and space. Wow, so late. Make me wait so long. Fed up only, you know. Wait for this. God, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. But God is not one who is not patient. But he does not want anyone to not be saved, but all to come to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus. And in that same passage, you go back and read in 1 Peter chapter 3. He talks about how perseverance, we press on. It will come. The bride, the redeemed, the church has prepared herself. And the church has been permitted, the she represents the church, to dress in fine linen, dazzling white and clean. For the fine linen signifies the righteous acts of the saints. And Amplified Bible tells us, what are all these righteous acts? Our ethical conduct in life, our personal integrity, our moral courage, our godly character. You know why this is all important? Because these are the virtues and these are the values that are ultimately important. Not the values of the men, of men. Not the standards of men. Not the judgment by men. Their appraisal. Looking for their applause. We look for God's approval. All these things are what ultimately matters. And finally, the last two verses, the angel who had appeared to John and then was revealing everything to him. And he says to John, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me further, in addition, these are the true and exact words of God. He said to me again, it's like for emphasis. Then I fell down at his feet, the angel who had been with John right from chapter 1 when he was given a glimpse of heaven. I fell at his feet to worship him, but he stopped me and said to me, you must not do that. I'm just a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who have and hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God alone, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is his life, and his teaching is in the very heart of prophecy, is in the very heart of the message of God, and it's about salvation, the very purpose he came to do. Don't do that. Don't bow before me. Just digress for a moment, because this is of important application. Today we read all kinds of scandals, all kinds of things. We see things that are just not even right. When people can so call themselves as Christians and children of God, and yet our behaviors are anything then. We don't worship men. You don't worship a pastor, not anyone. When a pastor, when a church leader falls, you know how badly it affects everyone. And in the recent weeks and months and in years, it seems to have happened. God, how come? Because we have lost our focus. We have put our trust in a man. Maybe in a godly man who has been godly, very inspiring, charismatic, powerful, sincere somehow in ministry. But then along the way, just like anyone, we have all sinned, fallen short of God's glory. We are still in the flesh. We are still subject to the temptations of life and the trials that we face. You think godly men and women don't have struggles? It's just that we don't show it. We can't. Not that we are trying to pretend and put wool over your eyes. But we recognize we have and accountability. And that's why enemies, when they go to war with you, they shoot the highest target. If the commander, the general is taken down, the whole army is like all scattered. If the church has got the highest level of leadership affected, we're going to get scattered. So we don't worship men. And in fact, I'll go a bit further. Even if things go so badly, you think God has been defeated? No way. You think God cannot protect his own reputation? No way. He can. He will bring judgment. But you don't use the judgment of somebody to justify yourself. You and I, each one of us, we have our personal accountability unto God. So this is a great message on rejoicing in heaven, shouting hallelujah like we have shouted a few times through the course of the song. And yet it's very clearly telling us why and what is it that we celebrate. And then towards the end, what is it we also have to be careful about. The fourfold hallelujahs tell us the four things, four truths that can give us great cause, wonderful reason, confident reasons to celebrate. What was the first? Hallelujah, salvation, glory, power belongs to the Lord because his judgments are true and righteous. Oh, we know about the salvation, glory, and power. But do you know why we can celebrate all this? Because of the righteousness of God. When we were doing the book of Romans up to chapter 8 that we have stopped, you know, after this, next week we have a new month. Because I mentioned about the uncertainties of where we are going today's AGM, I think Sean will be also giving you greater details and all. Then I'll be speaking. Second week, I will not be available. Elder Bansing will be taking the pulpit. Then after that, we continue with Romans 12, the practical parts of Romans. But chapters 1 to 8, you remember what you have been learning? The righteousness of God. And we sing that song often. Jesus, the righteousness of God revealed. Why righteousness? Because if God is not righteous, means he's not a God of justice. Means he's not a God who will hold to account whatever that needs to be accounted. His righteousness is also because of Jesus, the righteousness of God, who took upon himself sin that he was not deserving of, and grace for which we are unworthy of. And now we have the righteousness of Jesus imputed on us. That's why he is just. He has given a just solution. Because as a righteous God, he says, he has to address this, right? And because of his character of righteousness, more importantly now through Jesus imputed, put on us. While otherwise, when we stand before God and we have sinned and we should be punished, now through the righteousness of Christ, we are received, given authority to be called children of God. So you celebrate the righteousness of Christ. I know that, and this is going around very much in circles, not just in Singapore, but elsewhere, where false teachings are concerned, where you're told, oh, no need to confess your sins. No need. Because when Jesus died, your sins, past, present, future, all forgiven. So it's like a license. If forgiven already, I can do anything. I can live any old how I like, as it were. And then we are called to what? Don't confess sins. Confess your righteousness. No. I mentioned right at the start of this series, the confession that we confess is, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our confessing is not for possessing benefits that we want. You don't confess Christ's righteousness. You celebrate. You don't need to confess. You should be thankful, celebrating that is imputed in us. But we are still in the flesh. And we still stumble and fall and sin. And then that's where the same writer, John, in 1 John 1:9, you are familiar with. If we confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, be very warned and be aware that we said it from here. If you come across teachings that says, just confess, you are your God, you got authority, confess healings over sickness. Now, don't get me wrong, I know this can be a bit misunderstood sometimes. But I'm saying it's not for us to speak like as if we are God. Oh, God spoke, it came to pass. No, I'm God. I have the power. That's the temptation of Satan. Why did man fall? Why Eve was deceived? Because Satan deceived. Say, because you be like God. You're a God. No, you are not gods. We are sinners, but for the righteousness of God. Amen? We confess our sins and tell God we are sorry. We stumble, we fall, but we pick up ourselves, we press on. But we celebrate Christ's righteousness revealed. This is the God from whom we receive salvation, and unto whom all glory and power belong. So what are we celebrating? Not just good grades, not just promotions and bonuses, not even just earthly blessings of healings from sicknesses, solutions to problems, they will always be. But we celebrate righteousness of God through Christ now given to us. Amen. Second hallelujah. For God has judged the great prostitute. I've taken out all the expansions. Okay, the amplification. He has judged Babylon. He has judged the worldly system. He has judged the world that has been corrupting and ruining and poisoning the world with her adultery, spiritual adultery, falling away from God, and has imposed the penalty of the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time, the vast heavenly host shout, hallelujah, her smoke shall ascend forever and ever. Fire judgment. Got burned, the smoke continues to rise. You know what are we celebrating? We are celebrating the reckoning of God. I earlier used the word retribution. You go and check the thesaurus, synonyms, similar. But I realized that the word retribution can sound a bit negative, more human, more vindictive. I want to see retribution on your life because you are bad. You deserve. There'll be retribution. Other faiths, philosophies will say karma and things like that, right? But this is just simply the reckoning of God. You have to reckon with God one day. Already reckoning with people, we know sometimes you get frustrated. They are not fair. They don't operate as we expect them to. But with God, it's not about Him being not fair. But we better know that there'll be a reckoning. And that especially for the one who has led astray the people of God, this will be judged by God. When we continue our series from the book of Romans, from 12 onwards, you come to a passage that the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine. Do not repay evil with evil. Repay evil with good. To your enemies, pray for them." Because when you pray, you are like pouring hot coals on their heads. Reckoning is of God. Judgment is from God. Vengeance is the Lord. Because He will... He will impose a penalty for the blood of His bond servants. The penalty for what we had to suffer. And of course, here, to a large extent, it's referring to those who are even martyrs for the faith. Suffering and even dying, shedding blood for the faith. We are not anywhere close to that, right? We are so thankful that this is a society. Every government ultimately belongs to the government of Christ. And we are called to obey ourselves and subject ourselves to government. And why not? And when a government recognizes that it is a secular polity, governance, but we respect other faiths and religions, I think that's correct. But our evangelism is not to try to say that ours is superior, ours is better, is to say we are all in the same boat. But in Christ, I found salvation, peace, eternal life. And I'm sharing this with you. Not my words, but the one who says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to God the Father except to Him." The one who, though He died, rose again. So the second reason that we can celebrate and we should celebrate is vengeance is the Lord. Don't have to fight our own battles. Just leave it to God. Third hallelujah. Then the 24 elders representing the church and four living creatures also fell down and worshipped, saying, "Amen. Hallelujah." And from the throne, just say from the throne, but whose voice never tell us, right? Because from the throne there was God. Probably it's God Himself. But just simply say from the throne, came a voice, "Praise our God." How come God says praise our God Himself? "Praise our God, all you born servants of His, you who fear Him, the small and the great." While they were shouting hallelujah and praising the Lord, I think this voice that came forth from the throne tells us something that God celebrates in us. "Praise our God, all you born servants of His." And who are we? People who fear Him, whether you are great or small, whether you are a common person or you are a distinguished person. You know what God sees above all else in us? can you click? The reverence for God. Do we really revere God? The word reverence, I know we can also translate as fear. But sometimes the word fear can have negative connotations. I'm afraid. I fear God because he can punish me. He's like a disciplinary master with the big cane, and the moment I'm out of line, he smacks me or whatever. But reverence is really that respect, that honor, that you revere him because of knowing who he is and what he's done. It's that I get paisei, you know. I feel bad if I don't give God his due reverence. You know, the Bible always uses the family hierarchy to help us understand what it means to have a almighty God who is also a loving Father. A God that deserves all reverence, all honor. God, through the book of Malachi, says, if I'm the Father, where's my honor? Do we honor God in the way that we rightly should honor? And perhaps even as we look at our own family situations, and I'm just using this for our own self-evaluation, wouldn't the father want the child or the children to have a sense of respect? No bo toa bo sui, mei ta mei xiao, right? Anything goes, reverence. A deference. That's important. I always feel it's important. I tell my children, that's one of the things you don't cross the line with. You can disagree, you can, but please know your deference. I think our political leadership is very strong on that, right? Because I remember ministers saying, you cannot just suka-suka come out and talk like that, you know? You must have a sense of distance. Pastor can have a sense of distance also. That's what we struggle with. Professional distance and pastoral warmth. That's our struggle. But let me come back to this. You will celebrate God because you truly revere him. That's my point. Because that's what God says. Praise our God, you my bond servants, because you fear me. You truly honor me. You're not paying lip service. Jesus warns in the parables, there are those who come into the temple of God to praise him, but their hearts, their lips, they praise God, their hearts are far away. Don't pay lip service. Don't be hypocrites. Don't put on a show. You can never impress God. You may pull wool over the eyes of people, but God knows. He sees the heart. Are we cultivating the sense of, God, I fear you? I tell you, I'm still doing that very much. About to think something wrong or do something, cannot lay. Don't seem right. God, you go away. You go away, then I do whatever I want. Cannot. It doesn't work that way. When they shouted hallelujah, the voice from heaven says, you are my bond servants. And your shouting of hallelujah is a shout of reverence, not empty worship. Final hallelujah. It seems not to be moving. I click, you just go to the next one. Then I heard something like the shout of a vast multitude, and like the boom of many pounding waves, and like the roar of mighty peals of thunder saying, hallelujah, the fourth time. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. I think this one you know, click for me. We celebrate the God who reigns. I think you don't have to belabor this point. We celebrate he reigns because he is in control. He's sovereign. He's almighty. 4 points. Four hallelujahs. And these are the four bases for our true celebration. By all means, celebrate achievements and whatever wonderful things in life. But where God is concerned, where eternity matters, let's celebrate because the righteousness of Christ is put on us. Reckoning of God is in His hands. We may feel cheated, misjudged, whatever. He will act on our behalf, judge on our behalf. We celebrate His reverence and we celebrate the reign of God. So are we ready? If that's what the scene in heaven is to be like, and what is it pointing to? Pointing to us if we would be ready. And we can look this at the last three verses of this passage. Okay, just put it all out. It's good. Leave it there. Let us rejoice and shout for joy. Let us give Him glory and honor. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has prepared Himself. Have we prepared ourselves? Are we ready to be received? The bride has been permitted to dress in fine linen, dazzling white and clean. For the fine linen signifies the righteous acts of the saints. Have we done that? That we are now accorded fine white linens, the correct, proper, only acceptable attire, as it were, when we come before God's presence. And then the angel said to me, "Arise, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true and exact words of God." I think when we look at the Great Church series over these five sessions that we've done in these past 5 weeks, today being the last, it is a clear, bold proclamation of the victorious church that she really is. That day when Peter confessed and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus responded with His own confession, "I will build My church." May not seem to be. Sometimes churches look to be so weak. We seem to face struggles. Maybe we have issues and matters that came up that we never expected or anticipated. But we are not the one building the church. God is building His church. Jesus is building His church. We want to be reminded, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is no other foundation that can be laid than the foundation that is Christ. That there are some who sow, others who water, but God gives the increase. We have to be ready for the coming of Christ. And we can only be ready when our lives are set aright time and time again. Even those momentary moments when we may have strayed and coming under the power of the conviction of God's Spirit and His Word. Like we often say, if I'm not going to get caught, I think I can live any old how. But we are already caught. We are already judged. All have sinned. God knows everything. God sees everything. But we cannot take the false way of saying, confessing our sin, and so God knows already, I can do what I want. Just absolutely doesn't make sense. So are we confident of the victory that Christ has already won for us? Are we in this party of celebration? That we have been invited. Blessed are those, verse 9, who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's all we live this life for. Getting ourselves ready. I'll just conclude with some observations, and I think recently, as you're aware, some very prominent names in Christian circles, one after another, pass on. Quite recently also, Tim Keller, John MacArthur, I'm just running these names, James Dobson, focus on family. And just this past week, Vodi Borsham, we all may not be familiar, but these are really big names in Christian leadership. And actually I asked the question, what is God doing? What's happening? And I was really, really thrilled and at the same time assured. Some other pastors that I kind of follow, that I know are true. And they're asking the same question. What is God doing? How come of late all these things happening? How come of late we see, when you look at the coming of Christ, maybe this could be the last, another sermon, you know, talk about the great confession, the great communion, the great commandment, the great commission, and now the great celebration. Maybe we have to read and consider the great coming again of Christ. What does this tell us? You read Matthew 24, and you are warned about physical calamities, earthquakes, famines, all kinds of disasters. But you also warn about the spiritual climate, false teachers, false Christ's messiahs. It's getting very, very confusing, complicated, and far, far too much more challenging than ever before. I'm not saying to say that we are defeated. In fact, I'm saying this, that this is precisely God what has already told us, warned us about, and preparing us. Are you ready to be received by God? I'm not asking you to take leave of your minds and just start doing things so spiritual, going to the mountain and meditate and whatever, whatever. I'm just saying that where you are now, where God has placed you, whatever God has called you to do, are you stewarding your life and the gospel of Jesus in the way that truly will bring about great reward from the Lord and looking forward to the celebration to come? I trust we are. I pray that we are. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Even through this series of considerations of this church that you are building, Lord, we humbly submit ourselves under your mighty hand. Lord, where there might be things that we are not clear about, grant us clarity. Bring conviction upon our hearts and help us to make the response that you want to see in our lives towards you. And we pray, O Lord, that we will not be distracted, and even more importantly, not to be deceived by the enemy. That, Lord, while we go about the daily pursuits of life and the things that we do, Lord, we don't lose the focus of our ultimate destination, our eternal home that we return to, where we'll be in your presence and with all loved ones in Christ forever. So help us, O Lord, we pray, that we truly will constantly watch our lives, guard the faith, contend for it, and then by your grace and mercy, be empowered to live faithfully and fruitfully to your glory. We give you thanks. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
A very good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I'm here to give the announcements for us. Okay, so first announcement. Okay, the first announcement is young adults ministry one. So the young adults, those of you who have been following, we have been following through the book of Luke for quite a while. And we thought this final quarter, we are going to take a break from that. And so we needed much discernment from God. And so I think the series that we're going to embark on is about discernment. Okay, so what is God saying about a few things? Hey, next slide, please. So here are some of the topics that we have selected. So the first one is next week on Saturday about discerning God's will. And you can see the rest of the topics line up. Discerning Christ-defying idols. I think it's about our culture today. Discerning the body of Christ, what it means for us as a community of believers, and discerning the gifts of Christ. So if you're a young adult, anybody above the age of 25, we highly encourage you to come along just to hear what we are going to select various talks from various people here, just to hear together. Like, you might be wondering, if it's just a talk that we're going to listen to, why not just listen it ourselves at home? But I think that's the benefit of coming together to listen together and then spur and encourage one another on with the content to see how we want to apply this in our lives. Okay, so this is the series that we are going to embark on, a discernment, a discerning. This is what's God's will for X, Y, Z. These are the topics that we are going to embark on. We are not going to run any sign-ups, so just stay tuned to the young adults group message, the channel, and then we just release the details there. Next, an AGM will be happening shortly after service, so this is just a reminder. Do stay back. I think there'll be a short time for toilet break and all that, and then we just come back here and listen to the updates from our church. Regarding our church. So I really highly encourage all of us to please stay back, especially those who are members, because God has given us and placed us in this church, the body of Christ. And so we want to be interested about matters in this church. We want to be praying together for this church. We just want to see how God has been moving and steering us for the last couple of years. So this will be a place where we will share updates. Next, can I watch 1 hour? So this week's prayer team will be myself, Uncle William, Brother David, Sister Jean, Sister Shahira, and Sister Vimala. Okay, next, can I invite the ushers to please come forward? Okay, let me just reiterate the principles for giving. Our church, as a church, we share 2 principles, which is surrendered. We want godly believers to be giving ourselves first to the Lord. I think that's our number one priority, followed by cheerful giving. Nothing is compelled. Yeah. And then, of course, you can follow any pattern. Can I invite Ansley to pray?
Dear Father, we give thanks for your presence in our lives. Bless these offerings that they may be used to advance your kingdom and glorify your name. And may our faith continue to grow stronger each day, bringing us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, amen. Can I invite us to please rise for the final closing song?
There is a higher throne. Than all this world has known.
And sisters, we heard today that our God is making all things new, and there is a great celebration that awaits for us so long as we believe in the name of King Jesus and bow down before Him. So let's pray together. Let's turn to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, You are the sovereign God, Creator of all the universe, Creator of us. And now, Lord, we bring our requests before You. Lord, please, may You count us worthy at the end of the day. Help us to persevere till that great celebration. And we thank You, Lord, that You have made that day, planned that day for all believers from every tribe and nation. And the multitudes will be there, rejoicing and singing hallelujah to Your glorious name. Please, Lord, as we go through the ups and downs of this world, please give us strength to run this race. Preserve us,